right, let's jump right in and get going. We have a lot to talk about this hour, as always. And it is it's something I want to impress upon all of you. We understand that a lot of the material we present is kind of dark, kind of negative. But the people who really are trying to learn are the ones that we're trying to provide information to. Those people are the most important people that we have left on this planet. Those who are using discernment, those who are actually thinking, they're proactive about things, they're learning. The problem and the downside with that is there's so much noise and chaos and lies and deceit and disinformation out there, it's not easy to do anymore. So we hope that after doing this for, we're in our fourth year next week, or sooner, maybe Friday, we want you all to understand that as far as we can tell and we can determine, and all the research that Erica has done over the years and I've done, this is the best quality of information that we can provide you. Nothing is in our minds of dubious nature. There may be questions about it, but it's credible in its terms of being examined and explored and researched further. We want you all to do that. And that's one of the things we're about here. The other part of this that makes it really difficult is that the media icons in the alt-news world, people like Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, right? Dr. Robert Malone, all these big names, you know who they are. There's a basket full of them. Most all of them would not be as visible as they are unless they were somehow connected, if not co-opted, by the big money powers that are running the planet. I'll keep it real simple like that. Nobody gets into a position of that much visibility unless there's something else going on in the background. I'm not telling you that everyone is a fraud. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that whatever you see these people offering, go slow. Just go slowly. We've seen too many people turn into things that we would never have guessed they were after looking at them in their first go-round. They change. People change their message, which suggests that they're being influenced by certain power brokers, power centers. It's all contrived. It's all watched over. It's controlled. It is cadenced. It is a carnival of information, some good, some bad. So it's very daunting for the average person to really step into this whole world of COVID, bioweapons, and on, and come away with a real clear-cut understanding of what's being done to them. It's hard, but you can get there. We got there, and if you've been with us for any length of time, we hope that that you're on board with us and about the same level of general awareness. Now, there are some things that we don't talk about because they're scientifically and medically very complicated, and it wouldn't do any good here, but those papers are out there. So just a word of caution to all of us, and we have to watch too. And we've been tricked a couple times by people who seem to be putting out good information. Then you find out later on that they have flaws. And if you see them appear, and then within a month or two, they have some kind of a supplement superstore, that's kind of a giveaway that there's something going on here. There's money in it for them. And some of these people, like the people behind the wellness company now, there are people there that I will be willing to wager, I can't prove it, are multimillionaires already. There are wellness company ads beginning to pop up all over the place now. That takes time, energy, production costs, etc. So, again, sometimes the biggest and most obvious objects out there are the ones you should be most concerned about. Sometimes. All right, I'm going to stop it. I'm running off the rails here, but welcome back, partner. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you,
I'm frustrated. Jeff. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, that's an understatement. It's tedious at this point. It's so tedious.
I tried. Did I cover it fairly well? The ideas, the concept of be careful.
Yeah, and you have to understand that when you enter into the digital space,
right,
you're entering a war zone, literally.
Yep.
And they are misusing, manipulating information to control you. And it's at all angles and all levels.
Constantly. It's a real job. So when you, again, if you're new to this program or new to alt news in general, go slowly. A lot of it is as false and phony and contrived as the mainstream media. It's a treacherous journey.
I was just going to say that it's probably even more treacherous than the mainstream media, because you only really have maybe two narratives to contend with.
Right.
The left and the right. The Democrats, the Republicans.
Heinz 57 in the alt news world.
Yeah.
Go with it.
And they know how to tantalize people and mesmerize people and keep them, entranced in whatever narrative, appeals to them. I would recommend any videos, or if you want to read the book by Boone? Yeah, Boone Cutler on fifth-generation warfare to understand how the information is being weaponized, literally.
Right. Has been. We're very much like fish in a barrel to the controllers. That's how they look at us. And they are masters at manipulation. False information, subliminal implanting of information. It's all on the table, and it's all being used all the time. So
yeah, and it's somewhat easier to do with a society that's become so, in terms of skill, specialized. People are pigeonholed into a certain area that they're extremely good at in many cases, and then in these other areas they're lacking.
Right.
And maybe they don't know they're lacking. So,
well, that's a very good point. Let me elaborate. You've got an expert here on X, Y, and Z, and he knows or she knows very little about A, B, C, and D, and H, J, K, and et cetera. They're specialists, and they're very good. But is their overall breadth and panorama of knowledge and wisdom, which is what's supposed to come from the assimilation of information, is it there? And that's something you have to make your decision on.
Well, and I would say for the audience as well, you may be very comfortable in your field of interest, but when you get outside of that field, it's, you're like a babe in the woods, and they will exploit that. So, it's hard to find a well-rounded person in terms of just, the breadth of knowledge, especially with the younger generation.
I agree. It's actually becoming more difficult out there to make your way through the smoke and haze of the alt news circus. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Not easy. Okay. We have, let's see if they're going to load me up with commercials here. They probably will. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through a bearskin hoodie commercial here. Thank you. This is Rumble. What Rumble is doing now is loading two commercials. Oh, you can opt out after 5 seconds, I guess. But what they're doing is they're loading the two commercials. And the first commercial, you see a freeze frame of the commercial for up to 15 seconds, and then they roll the video of the commercial, and after 5 seconds, you can dump out. You say, oh boy, I'm out. And then there's another commercial right behind it. They're not using the freeze frame entry, but it's there. All right, so here's Amazing Polly, and we kind of tip our hats to her. She's a terrific researcher, and she has wisdom. That's another nice thing, not just a box full of facts and data. It's to synthesize facts and data produces wisdom, supposedly. But she's done a really good video here. Phony COVID dissidents. Beware of the dream team narrative police. And that's a very good, very accurate and apropos title. What do you want to say? I want to play a little of this. It's a good one.
Yeah, this is a 36-minute video in its entirety, and it's all good. So if you have the time to listen to all of it, I would recommend it. But she really just nails it, the way they're playing the game.
It's under our names and guests. You'll find it there. The amazing Pauly
Video. It answers a lot of questions. You know, why were certain people floated out there from the beginning? And, you know, there were certain figures on YouTube that were allowed to... It just seemed like every time you went there they were, you know, with the latest news on the COVID pandemic.
Just never forget, that doesn't just happen.
No,
this is
it
all
just happen.
Carefully choreographed every step of the way. Now, there was a program that I happened to see. We saw it, and it was narrated or hosted by Brett Weinstein. And
Go ahead.
I didn't know Brett Weinstein from anybody. And I think you sent me the link. I'm not sure. But on that program, Brett's two guests were Dr. Robert Malone and Stevie Kirsch.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much their debut, and they happened to be on the same platform. And from then on, I said to myself, these guys are going to be players. And they were.
Yeah.
Big time. Now,
but
Brett
what happened
Wein-
before that, interestingly,
right.
is the Wiseman, Drew Wiseman, and Cataline Carrico, and Derek Rossi was also out there at the before these vaccines were rolled out. These were all individuals that were high profile, mid-plandemic. They were going to save the world with their technology. And then after the vaccines rolled out, they, you know, kind of faded into the background. And then a month or two goes by, and here comes Robert Malone claiming that he's the inventor of this technology. And what happened to these other characters?
Oh, it's crazy. So, and I always watch what I see out there. People send me things. Erica sends me things a lot, and we trade stuff back and forth. I haven't seen much of Weinstein since that program. And I've always thought that sooner or later they're going to elevate this guy in terms of exposure and stature, if that's the right word to use. And sure enough, Brett Weinstein has been elevated. Now he's being cited and booked as a guest here and there as an authority on lots of different things. So not a surprise. It's all manipulated. Nothing happens coincidentally in this world anymore. Very little. All right, here's Amazing Polly, and she's going to talk about the Dream Team Narrative Police. These are the movers and shakers and big names who are directing mass thought and information.
I'm going to start off by saying it took a lot for me to drag myself in front of the camera today to do this video. So, you know, it's important. However, I feel a bit uncomfortable about what's about to be said, because I don't want to be some witch finder general. But I've been watching this stuff go down for too long. I started reporting on the truth about what was happening with the so-called pandemic back before they even declared any lockdowns here in North America. And I see something concerning happening right now. So I'm just going to talk about it. I'm going to be talking about Brett Weinstein and Dr. Nurse John Campbell. And I guess other things, other people. Because I believe they are constructing the new set of trusted voices that's going to hog up all the air in the room, and in very sneaky and underhanded ways, dispense and disperse the they're going to tell everybody what to do when the next one comes along. And right now there's a lot of hype out there about the World Economic Forum talking about disease X, and maybe the WHO, the World Health Organization, talking about disease X. And right away a whole bunch of trusted voices started repeating this and posting this and talking about this. John Campbell was one of the worst. He completely fear-mongered about, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, I have to describe what's been happening. Like, I haven't been making videos, but I have been very active over on X, formerly known as Twitter, the social media site formerly known as Twitter. It's called X now. I've been really active over there, and oddly, a few tweets that I've made in the past month or so have gone, I would say they've gone viral, especially for my account. And I've been gaining followers at a super rapid rate compared to the whole time before the last couple months. Anyway, so I have this feeling, possibly, that I am like one of B.F. Skinner's pigeons that respond to operant conditioning, where they're nudging me, they're using me. Because why are these certain tweets getting so much attention? I think it's because any publicity is good publicity for their new media narrative gatekeepers. And because I've been calling them out, I've been getting a lot of attention. You see how that works? You can't escape being part of the system.
No, she's right. They have us coming and going here. If we see a fraud out there and we start yammering about the fraud and trying to point that out, well, she just said it. It's an almost an old Jewish proverb. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. So we get used both directions. It's pretty damn clever when you think about it. And the more you think about it, the more you can really begin to see how much control is being exerted over all of this terrain that we're constantly exploring and researching. It is really remarkable.
Oh, that's one of the reasons it took a lot for me to sit down and record this today. Okay, where to start, really? How can I say this? They are building their new trusted voices who will flood the zone when the next round of a fake emergency happens. And I'm hedging a little here because I don't know if it's going to be another pandemic / plandemic like it was last time. It's going to be something, though. And they're using this Disease X narrative out of the World Economic Forum and out of the World Health Organization, and now percolating up through all the people we trusted during COVID. The big names, anyway. So I have to tell you what I see happening. First of all, let's start with Brett Weinstein. Because Brett Weinstein, host of the Dark Horse podcast, it's a very popular podcast. Brett was part of the intellectual dark web when that was still a thing, began in 2018. It included Jordan Peterson, and we know how popular he is. It included Joe Rogan, and he's super popular, right? It included Douglas Murray, and he's been all over everything lately. Ayaan Hirsi Ali, oh gosh, bigger names. Why am I not remembering them all? But suffice to say, almost every single one of them is a superstar in their own right now. And some of their big names, like Brett Weinstein, are out there right now talking in weird terms like COVID dissidents. All of a sudden, Brett is all about being a COVID dissident. And he keeps mentioning something called the Dream Team. And maybe this wouldn't be a big problem, except for the fact he is starting to police it like a leader of a movement would do. Not to mention, he has no right to do this because Brett Weinstein was not a COVID dissident. He wore the masks, and fine, you want to wear the mask? Fine. But he shamed people who didn't wear them. Then, when his tweets about shaming people who didn't wear them resurfaced, he deleted those. He deleted those. And more suspicious than anything about him deleting those tweets is that I went to search for screen grabs of his tweet. You know, sometimes people take pictures of tweets and they post them as separate things. They just post them. Certainly, some of those should have been available. But on the day that I looked, all those were gone too. So what am I saying here? I'm all over the place, right? I am saying that something is protecting Brett Weinstein, and that something in this case has to be Twitter, because you don't get to disappear your tweets except for off your own timeline. Copies of those, they should still be out there. Anyway, so something's going on, and I have identified many members of this network of cross promotion. I've talked about it before. I've done whole videos about it. That the funding coming from Peter Thiel, coming from David Sachs, coming from Cantor Fitzgerald, coming from Elon Musk into social media has set up a network of people, including the intellectual dark web people, but expanding out to people like Scott Adams, Ian Miles Chong. There's a ton of them. I'll put the graphic on the screen as I'm talking. These people are in a cross-promotion network where they all appear on each other's shows, and they get tons of likes and clicks. And because they get all this cross-promotion from one another, they start to become dependent on one another, on the approval of one another. And there's money involved, don't forget. Because the more often your stuff appears in front of eyeballs, the more revenue sharing you get from X and Rumble. So they have definite incentives to stick together and to not contradict each other, except for when there's a fake fight, because that's another thing they do. They stage fake disputes in between one another, because what does that do? It generates clicks and likes and eyeballs and revenue. Okay, so that is all very important to know as we head into the fourth year past the pandemic and the possibility that they're going to pull another stunt like that. With lockdowns, with grounding planes, with closing businesses, with making people either do masks or social distancing or get jabbed or take some other kind of medication or get digital passports or stick swabs up their nose, whatever it might be. These guys in this little narrative controlling network are going to be the people that a lot of conservatives, but they also have a lot of liberals involved who sometimes call themselves conservatives. So a lot of eyeballs are going to be on these people, and they're going to listen to what these people say. Now, here's the key. These people who were pro-lockdown, pro-mask, advanced the narrative that there was a deadly pandemic circulating. All these people are now extra trusted, because eventually they came around and spoke out against some of these things, especially the vaccines. So Brett Weinstein, that's what he's positioning himself as, some kind of early COVID dissident. And now he's going to be the leader of the voices who are totally sensible about all these things, so that when they pull the next one, people will go, well, see, we can trust Brett. We can trust Brett because he at first bought everything, but he eventually saw the light. Do you see? It's so dangerous. These people are essentially doing the stolen valor thing. When you claim that you fought in a war and you get all the kudos and you get all the medals and you get all the trust from society and all the goodwill that comes from that, but you really didn't ever fight. You just bought a uniform at the Army surplus, and you go to Memorial Day ceremonies and Veterans Day ceremonies, and you're like, I fought, and you didn't. That's what Brett Weinstein is doing. That's what Dr. John Campbell is doing. Dr. Nurse, he is not a doctor. He pushed the vaccines for more than a year when so many true COVID dissidents, so many real doctors and medical professionals and nurses had already been out there risking their jobs, their income, their security, their reputation, and sometimes possibly their lives to bring you the facts. And what did John Campbell and Brett Weinstein and all these intellectual dark web and this entire clique of the new narrative gatekeepers, what did they do with all of those early truth tellers? They ignored them completely, and in some case, they mocked them. I actually saw Brett Weinstein on a podcast the other day, and the guest happened to be Five Times August, a singer-songwriter, and this is nothing against him, okay? He was just there when Brett said this. Brett, in the first 2 minutes of this podcast, started saying,
but the COVID dissidents faced an absolutely unholy world where we were being demonized in very close quarters and very personally, as if we were somehow morally defective and so selfish that we would not go along with, the slightest inconvenience even to save the lives of our family members and, you know, our countrymen. And that was a very ugly period. And
I wanted to puke because he did not do that. And John Campbell, Dr. John Campbell, everybody defends him. They say, well, he just trusted the science, and then finally he saw through it. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit for finally coming around. I totally disagree. It was after the majority of the vaccines had been given out that this guy bothered to look at contradictory evidence. He never once turned over a rock. He just took the press releases from Pfizer, from the British Medical Journal, from the mainstream news. He just took whatever they told him and he reported on it night after night after night, encouraging people to go get the vaccine because he kept telling them how safe and effective they were.
Okay, you can look at the whole video if you just go to guests and look under our names. You'll find it there. Polly's very good. She's a thinker. She's a great researcher. And this is a very important commentary. What she's saying is completely accurate.
Yeah,
about how
I
it's
agree.
Played. Think of who's the greatest, probably the most influential driving force of pushing people to take the injections, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Who's talking about that now?
I know.
Whereas a year ago he was boasting about being the father of this beautiful vaccine, he calls it. A beautiful vaccine. And how I've saved the lives of 100 million Americans. No, in point of fact, it may turn out to be exactly the opposite of that. So these big names that everyone is icons that most people are impressed with are often frauds.
Yeah,
keep that in mind. Just keep in mind.
Yeah.
What you see is not necessarily what you're getting. It's style over substance, image over factual data and science, and it's dangerous. That's how they do it. They keep everything stirred up in this mass vortex of chaos, and it's very difficult to make your way. So that's the general lesson here, and I think many of you are wise to this. You wouldn't be here listening now if you were fooled by all of this. But they own the whole damned show. You know who they are. Same group. They own the whole show. They own the actual bioweapon injections through the Pentagon. They own the media. They own the alt media. They own it all. So how are people supposed to construct a reality in which to live and think and do life when they're being conned and deceived every step of the way? It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart to wade into this and try and deal with it. It's tough. All right. Anything you want to add to that? And then we're going to jump ahead.
No, you said it well.
Did you say something?
Yes, I said you said it well.
Oh, thank you. That was so quick.
Yeah.
I had to switch earphones here and I missed it.
Oh.
They never said Erica was slow. All right. So good job, Polly. It's a very difficult and complex morass to try to make your way through. It just is. And that's
well,
the way
they
want
it. Well, and they have legions of you know, trolls, shills.
As many as they want.
We're going to hire people to control the narrative, and they plant them strategically all over these social media platforms.
They're everywhere.
Whether it's X, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Telegram, whether it's...
Yep.
They're all there.
You're going to their movie show. Don't forget. It's not your show. It's their show. And you're watching. And you're interacting. And you're reacting. And that's what they want. And they got it. They know how to do it. They're masters at it. All right.
In fact,
we have another thing. And it has to do with sweat. A very popular subject. Okay, so sweat, and there are, I hope, it is there in guests. Let me go there and make sure what we've got to look at here. If you go to guests and look under our names, you'll see colored sweat on clothing reports from the vaxxed. Now, this colored sweat is metallic. The word metallic is supposed to be in there. Colored metallic sweat. Okay? So if you click on that, you're going to see a little text, and then you're going to see some T-shirts, white T-shirts. Okay? All right. Go ahead and read that for us. What's it say?
Okay. Let me get there.
This is a vaxxed person talking, I believe.
Vaxxed injured person.
Yep.
Hi, all. Aside from profuse sweating and having to change clothes several times a day, does anyone else have clothes that are becoming badly stained from sweat? White shirts I have owned for years are now stained this filthy yellow/gray color. Nothing I've tried removes the stains. I've also used different deodorants, different sunscreens, no deodorant, no sunscreen. It doesn't make a difference. Here are some photos as an example. Shirts I've owned for years, but in the last few months have become so stained that I have to throw them out. Coincidentally, this only began happening to my clothes in the last few months, 2 years post-vax.
Wow. It goes on from there, and the first response is, yes, I've had the exact same issue, yellowish, brownish sweat stains on my clothes. Mostly workout T-shirts and pajamas, which makes sense because I do most of my sweating when I sleep and when I exercise. I don't sleep in sweat. Do you sweat when you sleep? I don't know how common
that is.
No.
When if your body's fighting something or...
Then you might.
Or hormonal issues.
Right. Well, I have none of those either. All right, that's a joke. Sweat stains on my clothes, mostly workout T-shirts and pajamas, which makes sense because I do most of my sweating when I sleep and when I exercise. I am sweating much more than I did prior to the vax, and I have a very different, strong body odor. It is quite unpleasant. I haven't even mentioned this to any of my doctors, but perhaps I need to do so because it may be a clue that will help us find some solutions. Thank you for mentioning it. And the next one, that's okay. It's crazy how many symptoms there are, no matter how subtle. And a response to that, oh my goodness, I was watching the Healing for the Ages conference this last week, and they touched on that very topic. I think it was on day 6, probably in the Q&A. If I find the answer, I'll let you know, but I remember them talking about where the yellow stains are showing up, like armpits and chests and women. Another person asked a question about body odor changing post-vax or post-COVID viral infection. I know I've experienced that myself just recently after having contracted COVID again in December. Go ahead.
next person says, I've been noticing I sweat more than I used to, and also I feel stinkier. Magnesium deficiency, maybe? Another one, not to your degree, but for perspective, I moved to Arizona from New York because I used to thrive in the heat, would do a 6-mile runs in 100-plus degree Fahrenheit weather. Now I can't even walk in 85 degrees without sweating profusely and feeling like I'm going to pass out.
And a response to that and this whole string, I'm not sure. Sweating? Probably not. After my stroke vaccine, this person had a stroke after the vax, another one of those. I switched to plant-based, and my 22-year-old complained I smelled funny. We assumed it was due to diet. I still eat a lot of veggies with salmon a couple of days a week, and she said the scent is gone. Not sure exactly what that means. That means she can't smell it anymore, or the body odor scent is gone. Anyway, someone adds to that, it's so strange, thank goodness the smell has gone now. It's interesting what the people around us notice as well. My mom has alerted me to many changes she has noticed while I've been trapped inside this illness. All right, go ahead.
First one says, you should keep a list of what your mother said. There were things I experienced that were easy to communicate, and then there were weird things, like with my eyes feeling weird. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone mention it here, but I don't want to forget because it must have been related. Someone asked, are you on a diet? This happened to me when I was fasting. When I stopped fasting, the smell stopped. No diets around here.
So what do we make of this? What's going on? What's your take?
Going back to March of last year, we covered this. In fact, I sent you the video that we had played a couple minutes of. Do you have that?
Oh, right. Let me pull that up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll get to that.
So this issue of colored sweat is probably, well, there's two possibilities. Number one, it's this pigment lipofusion, which is deposits of oxidized fats, usually accompanied by metals. Metals cause the oxidation of fats and collecting in these sweat glands. And, you know, it's iron, but there can be other metals as well. And these people are having trouble because of their state of inflammation. They're sequestering metals. They're not able to excrete them normally. So they're winding up inside of cells and then causing these oxidation products. And another possibility is the bacteria that's colonizing them. In particular, this Karini bacterium is known to produce a colored sweat. And I think that's also a likely contributor to this. And also the smells, they can be influenced by the types of bacteria that are now colonizing these people. And did you know that the fragrance of a flower doesn't come from the flower itself, but rather the bacteria that colonize the flower?
Oh, you ruined it all. I didn't know that. I thought it was
no
the
bacteria,
flower.
Yeah, no bacteria, no smell. Yep.
How interesting. Well, okay. All right, here we go. This is from a year ago that we played.
March, I think the date on this was March 24th, and then we might have covered it on March 27th in our program.
Right. All right, here we go.
Have you, as a massage therapist, noticed, do you use white sheets?
Oh, yeah. Our sheets are white, and they're disgusting.
Oh, Dr. Gessler.
Within a day.
This is what my mom talks about in the vacation rental
They've turned completely tan, and no one knows why. I mean, I know why, but
I am now like looking at just purchasing tan sheets because the white ones within one wash, they're disgusting.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's what's happening. I talked to another massage therapist and she said that her sheets are turning tan and brown with the vaccinated.
Yeah, I can show you. I should take pictures. We just purchased brand new sheets last week.
And I need to write an article about this. I got an article.
So Unjected Grandma talks about this. That's my mom, Dr. Gessling. She does vacation rentals. She helps take care of them. And yeah, the same issue. White sheets are all now have this film. Yellowed.
Do we know what the film, like, do we know
is
what
it is?
Is
that the spike, you think?
I think it's probably the spike.
The spike shed, actually. Mm. Actually shedding on
the
sheets.
I mean, if it's in your sweat, if it's coming out of your pores, I don't know.
That'd be interesting to send off to like a lab somewhere and get it like analyzed.
Totally.
Like Mike Adams, we need to get with Mike Adams, have his lab get on
it. It does not matter how much bleach.
Yeah, that would be great.
They're gross.
It is kind of funny that of all colors, the spike protein would be yellow, which is like cowardly.
Okay.
So I do remember playing this, and it's probably continuous. What comes to my mind is the iron issue, which you were the first to really make a big deal out of it. Iron is critically important to understanding how to begin to try to do something about this terrible damage from these injections. But is iron a factor in some of the staining of these sheets?
Yeah, it could be. And now, you know, people are noticing that there's a metallic smell also with some of these people.
Right.
But I would not dismiss the bacterial component because this Karini bacterium is in the species of bacteria known as actinomyces, which is a known trigger for chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And that may be one of the things that people are reacting to around the vax. They may be over-colonized with this particular type of bacteria, Karini bacterium. And it's also known to produce a colored sweat.
Okay.
So the bacterial component in this, I think, is not talked about nearly enough.
What's interesting, though, is that bacteria will usually respond to bleach or other harsh measures to try to whiten cottons, but these are not responsive. Whatever's causing this.
Well, they're producing a pigment. You know, you're probably killing the bacteria, no doubt, but they,
right.
You know, the pigment is, and they are known to, this particular species of bacteria live in sweat glands, like in the sebaceous glands. So they seem to be in skin pores that have fat in them.
Hmm.
So that would probably make for a more durable stain. You know, if they are producing a pigment that makes sense.
Well, these are very durable. I mean, these are professionals, and they can't get their sheets back to being white. And maybe they should start buying brown sheets. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it isn't just, you know, it's massage therapists, and then it's these vacation rental.
Oh, I couldn't even know. I'm not on a bet.
Somebody was asking.
Airbnb? No.
Somebody wanting to travel, how to disinfect or how to decontaminate a hotel room where, you know, obviously now vax people have been staying.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could fully decontaminate.
You can maybe bring
a small ozone generator and, you know, have it run, leave the room for a bit. That should kill live virus if there's
Will it kill the spike? I don't know. The best way to protect yourself from a hotel room is don't go. Don't stay there.
Because, you know, you've got whatever's in the air, whatever's hanging in the air, whatever has contaminated the upholstery, the curtains, drapes. They changed the sheets, but, you know, these people are sweating. The sweat has gone through the sheets into the mattress below.
They throw them in the same
spread.
Same washers and dryers in the hotel. Same. Right. It's all mixed. Nah.
And then you've got the surfaces. You know, you're still risking it. The spike can't be easily degraded.
No, it's a protein. It's
a protein.
Very durable.
And it's a digestive resistant protein.
It's tough.
It'd be pretty hard to, decontaminate a whole room where there have been vax people staying previously.
Right. Okay, we've got some more here. Smells of metals. Smells of metals. Someone writes, just a question, what makes the vaxxed smell like burning rubber? And a response, I'm genuinely asking. I'm unjabbed, so are my family, but I have one friend who claims to be unjabbed, yet I can smell an overpowering, pungent, burnt rubber smell when I am with them. I'm honestly beginning to wonder if this person is being honest with me. Could it be from this person's partner who is jabbed? I'm very concerned for my friend. And one tag on that one, someone writes, most likely what they were injected with on this side of the earth, they smell like metal flakes, cleaning chemicals, or the worst one smells like decomposing corpses. All right. Go ahead. There's some more.
More comments. I've been smelling the metal flakes odor lately when I pass them on the street. Sometimes they smell like stale, dirty laundry. And a third person says, same here. Rusty metal, poor in chemical softener, and rotten corpse. The worst smell I've never, ever feel. Must mean smell.
Right. No, most of us are not familiar with the smell of rotting corpses, although that can't be said for many other parts of the world where it's not an uncommon smell, like in Gaza or Ukraine, for example. This planet is in real trouble. All right,
yeah,
now we have one more. Smells of the vaxxed. I've been noticing a certain bitter or musty odor in many buildings. I know bitter is a taste sensation, but I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe also a bit like dead animals. I'm not a moldy smell, or it's not a moldy smell. My first thought is that it's actinomyces. These are bacteria in water-damaged buildings that have a certain smell. It sounds almost like mold, doesn't it? But now I'm wondering if it could be shedding. How would you describe the smell of shedding? And I don't think there's a response to that. That was just a question. So we'll put that out there to all of you, those of you who have smelled it. We had the original smell, which was commonly referred to as dryer sheets that you'd toss in with your clothing to make it smell nicer. But it was an industrial-grade smell of dryer sheets. Now we're getting into corpses and other things that are not good. Not good.
Well, again, you've got different species of bacteria that are odoriferous, meaning they can produce a smell. And some of them are pleasant. Others are really, the list is, let's see, we have dirty sneakers, putrid, fecal, fruity.
Outhouse in August, that one?
Yeah. Musty basement, acrid, burnt chocolate, fruity or grape light, again, dirty sneakers, musty basement, butter or butterscotch. And then you have, the issues of people's deranged metabolisms. They're having liver issues, so they're not, they're not able to process food or detoxify as they should, and a lot of times you get the sulfur smell coming off them.
Would proteins generate an odor?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
So people thinking it's a spike are not barking up the right tree. These are bacterial things or some kind of chemical exudate from the body. Your body's dumping off something.
There have been people who are familiar with the smell of cancer patients, and in particular, cancer patients who are on chemotherapy, and they've likened some of the smells of the vax to that. You know, you can smell the medication coming out of their pores and just a kind of a sickly metabolism. You know, and intuitively, you know there's something wrong.
Is the reporting of people smelling what they would describe as the vaxxed increasing? Are we getting more reports of that? It's trending upward as far as I could tell. That's true.
Well, and that could be for two different reasons or both. Either there are more vaxxed people who are developing an odor, and there could be more unvaxxed who are becoming hypersensitive to it. You know, when you have high histamine levels, your sense of smell goes way up.
Got it. All right, here's a quickie. We'll just dump this in real fast. Blood clots in the unvaxxed. Okay? That's many of you listening. The unvaxxed. Blood clots in the unvaxxed. This lady writes, I'm not vaxxed, and I have amyloid clots throughout my body. I've had COVID-19. I do have the gene, which makes my body prone to clots, MTHFR gene, or is that a euphemism?
No, that's the gene for methylation. A lot of people have that, you know, impairments in their ability to methylate.
I'm seeing a doctor who only treats vaxxed and long COVID patients. His treatment plan is anticoagulants, blood-thinning meds, and neprenol or natokinase to remove the fibrin. Don't think you don't have clots because you aren't vaxxed. We are shed on every time we are around the vaxxed. If you have a family history of strokes, heart attacks, you should get a thorough screening. And there's a response to that. Go ahead.
I don't know where you are.
Oh, that's all right. I'm in the next group. Just a little bit here. What kind of doctor are you seeing? And what type of tests are being conducted? And we are back to the tests again. The endless line of tests waiting for people that you know you have amyloid clots. In other words, how did you find out? And it goes on from there a little bit. But the point is, this particular individual, unvaxxed, has clearly amyloid clot problems throughout her body. And how she's going to treat that, I don't know. To me, anticoagulants just don't work against amyloid clots. It's a blood clot, okay, but these are not blood clots. You've all seen them. We have pictures up in the archive on the homepage. You can see them right there. These are white, stringy. They call them calamari, like squid, but they do not break down, not easily.
No, and we've heard Nurse Ann say that a lot of the people coming into her department are they're already on anticoagulants.
Correct.
And they're still forming these clots.
Right. All right. Oh my. It's just a tough thing out there. And the one reader we did earlier, which mentioned that somebody said there are only so many symptoms to go around. And that's true. It's hard when you're dealing with dozens of different injuries. And you're getting pretty much often the same kinds of symptomological profiling from these people. It's not a dead giveaway anymore. Usually, if you have a sore throat, you could look in and see if you have strep or staph in your throat. But now it's not easy like that anymore. This thing is so diabolically evil, all of it. And I include the vax and the injections equally in this. This virus is a terrible bioweapon. People just do not want to go there because they were told in the beginning, it's just like the light case of the flu. Don't worry. No problem.
Yeah, I don't think it would have taken hold had they not injected people with something that was going to cripple their immune systems. You know, what shouldn't have been a problem is now a serious problem because the virus has been allowed to infiltrate and take hold in the population and adapt, evolve, gain fitness, and probably at some point become completely stealth-adapted so that you don't even know that you, when you acquire it.
Right.
And then it goes for your neurology or whatever, wherever it's going to go.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap it up. We're running about 5 minutes late here. Thank you all for being with us tonight. We'll be back on Friday, in which we start our fourth year in service to those who want to know this Friday. So hope you'll be back. Great job tonight, as always. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with another hour coming up next.